Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
Mr. Meyer, I think we should start at the most logical place, which is, of course, the beginning. Would you tell us, please, about the very first contact that you made with a flying saucer, when that was and under what conditions?
Yeah. The very first contact I had as a small boy when I was on age by 5 years. It was in Bülach, Canton Zurich. I don't remember exactly the day, but the time in the early morning, 9 o'clock, when I was staying outside behind our house, together with my father under a very big walnut tree. And there I have seen some funny thing in the sun, in the sunny blue sky, some 5-6 miles far away, directly over the village Bülach. There was something turning around on the sky, was flashing there, silvery flashing, and then it was falling down nearly the church of our village, and then it came through us in a very high speed, and then I have seen it was a very big disc.
Did you have the feeling that this disc was actually aimed at you, it was coming to you personally?
No, at that time not. And about that I was asking my father, what's happened with this big disc, what it shall be and all this. And you know, it was wartime second at that time. And then he told me, oh, that's a secret weapon of Hitler, you know. And this was going on altogether when I have seen the flash on the sky, when it was falling down and came through us and left to the west side of us, was about 3-4 seconds only. And for myself, I was thinking, it can't be what's telling my father. Because I have seen these primitive airplanes we had here in Switzerland. I have seen the primitive German airplanes. I have seen the, what you call it, the zeppelins and balloons, the primitive tanks and cars and trucks and everything.
You didn't believe it was a secret weapon?
No. It was impossible for me. And then I was trying to see such a disc again. And then I was watching the sky. But it took some few days more, and then at night time I have seen lights who was flying on the sky. And this was going on for a few weeks, and then I left the home for a walking out, just a walking out to the forest and to a private airport far outside of our village. And then there came down something who was looking like a flash. Like the first time I have seen that flash over our village. And when it came lower and lower, I have seen the form was not like a disc. It just was showing like this from down when I was looking up.
It was straight above you, and you could see it was a disc.
Right, yes. And when it came down, I have seen the form was like a very big pear.
A pear?
Yeah. And then I was perplexed.
You were puzzled?
Yeah. And this object, it landed on the ground and then opened there some few minutes later something like a big door. And then came something down, and then I have seen it's an old man.
Now, this old man, did he float out, or did he walk out,
no,
or what happened?
He came down something like, what do you call it, elevator?
Like an elevator, yes.
Yeah, something like that, but it wasn't a real elevator, because it was going down outside the ship without any holdings, you know?
Mm. Nothing to hold it.
Nothing to hold it.
Mm-hmm.
It came down free. And somehow I was interested, I wasn't afraid about all that. And then when the man called me to go to him, I was gone there. And he brought me with this funny elevator into the ship, and then we was flying up to sky. And when he stopped this pier, he told me we stay now some 73 kilometers above the Earth. And this was the very first contact I got with people from outside of the Earth.
You say that this was an old man. What made you think he was an old man?
You know, he was really very, very old. I was thinking at the time his age will be about 90, 95 years. And then he had a long, white beard.
A long white beard.
A long white beard, yes. And he was looking for me like an old man who I have seen on a picture some few days, a few years before.
But was he healthy? I mean, did he stand up straight? Did he seem to be healthy and strong?
He was, for me, looking in his health, not like an old man. He was looking like a young man. Only his face and his beard, this white one, was showing me it's an old man. And he looks to me like a patriarch.
Your idea of a superior old man.
Yeah.
Was he completely normally humanoid as we know it? Did he look like you and me?
He looks like you and me. And the very funny thing was this, he was speaking with me in a perfectly Swiss language dialect.
Was it the local dialect?
The local dialect of my hometown.
And what about the size? I know there are jokes about the little green men, but there have been many stories of small men.
His size was about 180, 182 centimeters.
So he was a fairly tall, normal man then?
Yes.
Well, at this point, did you have any idea who this person was or exactly where he came from?
At that time, I had not any idea from where he comes, where he is, who he is, and what he wants, and all this.
When did you find out what the mission was?
What's really happened with this man, I find it out some 11 years later when I got the second contact, when he was gone, when he left the Earth.
So you only had two contacts with him initially, and 11 years apart?
No, I had several contacts with him for 11 years, and then he was teaching me in several knowledge and wisdoms and everything, so.
Well, what sort of things were you taught? What did he teach you?
Mostly what he was teaching me was spiritual belongings, spiritual lines, spiritual directions, and all this.
Do you mean more in a religious sense or more what we might say in a philosophical sense?
No, it's more a philosophical sense, because about religion, they don't want to hear anything. They are against every kind of religion. They want the true only, and they say religion is a small piece, true in it only, and the mostly is a made up of the humans of Earth.
In other words, it's our human notion of religion, but they know something more than we do then. It should be more cosmic.
Yeah, that's true. That's right.
Well, can you give us one or two examples of the kind of wisdoms and informations that you have received?
You know, that's a very long teaching. And if I want to explain you something, it needs too much time. But if you like to know something about all this, you have to read our books and our booklets and all this. Because, you know, the whole complex is very compact, and each thing is going into the next one. It's like a very long, long chain. And it's impossible to pick out a small piece of the chain, because it's from the beginning to the end a straight, long direction.
As you've said, the knowledge, the wisdom which was given to you by this old man, as you've described him, is very complicated and is very detailed. But basically speaking, would you say it was a kind of education or training in the proper way to live, or how to get along with people? Was it all a combination of these things, perhaps, to improve your own personal life?
You know, the teaching I got, it belongs to everything what's going on and what's happened with the human being on Earth and over the whole universe. And in this teaching is everything enclosed what's happened in the daily life, what's happened in the thinking of the human, what's happened to his body, what's happened to his psyche, to his wisdom, to his knowledge, to his love and everything. What's the real, true kind of life, the natural life, not an actor life, you know?
A more general life.
Yeah, a nature general life.
Well, I know, for example, that you raise your own cattle here on a very natural food basis. You also have biological vegetables. This is the kind of thing you're talking about, a kind of a purer, more natural kind of life in every respect, physical and spiritual, I guess.
Yes, but to this kind of life is a very, very small thing of all, you know. There is a whole long line. A whole long chain.
These are only one or two things.
Yeah, exactly.
Who was this old man, and where did he come from?
From him I heard only his name, Svat. But who he was really, and where he came from, he never was talking about. This I heard some 2 years ago from Semyazi. This was the first time when I came to know who he was and where he came from. Now, he was a Pleiadian too, like Semyazi, and he was Semyazi's grandfather.
A girl.
Semyazi, it's a girl.
So this is a girl from outer space with whom you still have contacts today?
Yeah, we have.
And what was the purpose of the mission, and what about this place they come from, the Pleiades?
Yeah. In the star picture, or in the star collection, we can say, of the Pleiades, there are some planets, some few planets with human life. And one of them they call this planet by the name Era. From there they come to here, to us, to Earth, to the human here on Earth. And the real reason why they come to Earth, to us, this happened on this way. They say their directly forebears was our indirectly forebears.
We came from them, indirectly.
We came indirectly from them. You know, with old aliens, they came here at first some 20, 22 million years ago. The humans on Earth mixed themselves together with that old aliens, and we are made out of them today.
And who were the old aliens? I'm not familiar with this term.
These old aliens, they don't came at that time from the Pleiades, because the Pleiades they find at later time. At first, when they came here, they came from the star picture of Lyra and Vega. And first, at later time then, they find that the planets in the star group of the Pleiades. And, you know, why they came here, they have the reason in that the forebears of them, also our indirectly forebears, they had started here on Earth some trouble. They have done wars, they have done some wrong teachings to the humans on Earth to get the rulings, to get the ruling over them. And then they started the wrong religions. And with these wrong religions, they got into their hands the humans from Earth.
So if I understand correctly, the aliens wanted to dominate the Earth people and sort of led them on the wrong path so they could dominate them later.
Exactly, that's right. And now we have a lot of religions here on Earth around the globe. And now they feel them in duty, the Pleiadians from today, to come to here to bring the real teaching back to the humans on Earth, to make find them the real life in spirit and the real life in nature.
So these religions that we have today, and we're talking about there could be anything from Hinduism to Christianity, are in a way mutations of the true cosmic religion. Let's put it that way. In other words, cosmically there's only one religion. It's a philosophy, and we have not learned the correct one, and that's why they've come back through you. Mm-hmm. To teach you correctly. Is this the story?
That's right, true.
And now we come to a man by the name of Billy, because among those people who know the story, they don't say Edward Meyer, they say Billy Meyer. Who is Billy?
You know, that's a funny story. I was traveling around the world for 12 years. And when I was been to Tehran in...
Iran.
Yeah, Tehran in Persia.
That's not a flying saucer, incidentally. It's a military aircraft.
Then I have meet there a girl from Los Angeles. And at that time I had a black cowboy hat on my head. I was dressed with black clothes and all this. And then
you looked like a cowboy.
I was looking just like a cowboy. And to right side I had my my gun and revolver. And so I was turning in the wild countries around at that time, you know.
And you actually carried a gun there?
Yes, of course, because I was always outside in the jungles, in the mountains and the deserts for several months, just alone with myself. And then I needed the gun, I needed knife and all this. And then that girl, I know her name, it was Julie. And then she told me, you see, you look just like Billy the Kid. I will call you Billy. And so started the name Billy, and this name was turning around in Persia, then in the next country, in Iraq, Turkey, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, India, and all the Middle East countries. And when I came back to Europe, to Greece, to Yugoslavia, Germany, Austria, Switzerland, and France, and Italy, and all this, the people have known somehow, I don't know how, but somehow they have known the name Billy. They had pictures from me, I don't know from where, I haven't any idea. And so I got the name Billy, and it holded on still up today.
And when you had contacts with the space visitors, did you identify yourself as Billy then afterward? Is that how this got started?
No, this comes at later time, at 1975. Then Semyazi, she was then the first one. After 11 years rest without any contact from 1964 to 1975. And in the meantime, I got this name in this meantime of this 11 years. And then from 1975, Semyazi calls me Billy, not Edward.
And you prefer the name Billy yourself every day?
Yes, several hundred times.
Well, let's say Billy then. Billy, I'd like to get technical for a moment and ask you about the craft themselves, about the saucers. How big are they? I know we're talking about five or even six of them now. Mm-hmm. How big are they, and how are they propelled? What is their system of propulsion?
Yeah. You know, the normal size they use here on Earth, that's in diameter 7 meters. And there is place in it for three persons. And then it's a smaller size, they call them something like a scout ship. It's for one person only, and 3.5 meters in diameter. And then the next bigger size is by 14 meters, the next one by 21, and the next one by 28 meters.
A meter being roughly a yard in length. Yeah,
yeah. A yard means about 90 centimeters, mm-hmm. roundabout. Mm-hmm. And the size of the ship grows up each time by 7 meters more, from one size to the other size. Only the smallest one has 3.5 meters less. And the biggest ship, that's a ship we call them here like a mothership, has some 17,000 meters and something. That's
more than 10 miles in diameter.
Yeah, in diameter. And the highest point of them, where is the commando capsule? It's going on up to 35 kilometers, so 35,000 meters higher than the real ship themselves.
And what about the propulsion system?
The first one they had was something on nuclear waves, but how it was working I don't know. And the next one then they got the second time, this was a newer one, there was tachyons. You know, it's a product of time. What we have here, the smallest thing of time, we call it a nanosecond. Mm-hmm. That's the smallest thing, and then the point of time, the going out of time, we say chronon. And if they change to the back, to the past time, we call them tachyons.
Are you speaking of a kind of time warp or time travel in that case?
Yeah, they use them for time travel too.
Is that the reason why they can actually come these long distances?
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. And then for the planet to fly into the atmosphere and all this, they need protons. That's light pieces, I think.
Light particles.
Light particles. neutrons, and the last type now they brought, they was working on antimatter.
So in other words, they've had different models, if you like, of saucers, which have been getting better all the time over the years.
That's right.
Well, Billy, where are they based? Are these saucers based on Earth?
You see, the small saucers, these disks by 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 meters, they are on bases here on Earth. And I know the Pleiadians, they have three different bases on Earth. One of them is here in Switzerland somewhere, but I don't know the exact place. Never go to ask me about them.
You just don't know?
I just don't know, and I just don't like to know. You know? It can make trouble only, or bring trouble only. And one base of them is somewhere in China, on the border between China, Mongolia, and Russia, India somewhere, but I don't know where to not. And the next one, the third one, is somewhere in the United States. But the Pleiadians, they are not the single one aliens here on Earth. There are some eight other groups too, and they are working all together.
I was going to ask you, because in ufology, or in the study of flying saucers, we have seen pictures and drawings and accounts of many different kinds of saucers and different kinds of beings. So what you're saying is that the Pleiadians are not the only ones visiting us from outer space. There are other people too. Do they actually work together?
They actually work together here on Earth. But only that one who are here on Earth in own stations, you know. And then they say they know that they are flying into the room of Earth yearly, 3,800 different kinds of saucers from everywhere around the universe, from different galaxies, from different planets, and all this.
Mm-hmm. And do they all have the same mission as you describe it, that is, to teach Earth people the correct cosmic religion, let's put it that way?
No. The mostly of them, they are here for exploring only.
Have you ever had...
Just the Pleiadians are here for that mission, what we was talking before. And not all of these aliens are in the face and the body the same than the Pleiadians or like the humans from the Earth. They are quite different. There are smaller one, there are very small one, there are very tall one, there are gigants, titans, someone, they are white in their color, the other one brown, the other one black, or blue, or green, or there are many different colors by humans around the universe. And some of them, they have hairs, other one, they are very, what you say, glut, or...
Bald.
Bald, very bald. Other one, they have... red colored eyes. Other one, they have very, very small eyes. Other one have bigger eyes, bigger mouths, bigger ears, smaller ears, big noses.
All varieties of people.
Yes.
We've heard from flying saucer researchers and also certainly from contactees in the past that not all of the visitors from outer space have friendly intentions. The ones you're dealing with, the Pleiadians, seem to be friendly. But what about these others? Can they be dangerous? Are they dangerous?
Yes, that's right, true. But, you know, the human on Earth, he makes too many words about all this. Because we have here exactly the same. We have good people, we have bad people, we have here peaceful people, we have warful people, and this happens over all the universe. You know, when we will see now the people from our earth, and they leave at one time in the future to other planets, they don't know what's happened there. They don't know if the people who is living there on the other planet, if they are friendly, if they are good, if they are bad, if they are going on to start war with their people or all them, and then it will be trouble. It is not that way who is thinking the people always here to make peace. You know, the people from Earth is very frightened. And then, of course, they take weapons with them. And if a human have weapon, he will use them, of course. Mm-hmm. And then starts the trouble.
Yeah. Billy, there's an old argument. Many of the flying saucer contactees, we could mention any number of names, many of them have intimated that the space people are far more intelligent than we are. But if I understand you correctly, you're not saying they're more intelligent, but simply they're more advanced in their own societies. Is that correct?
You know, that's a very funny thing what's happened here on Earth. If people tell something about UFOs and about aliens, we have here on Earth several hundred or several thousand kinds of religions. And just in the time from this century is going on something about Third World War, and the people is very afraid. And then are some very clever men here on Earth, they use the religion to make money, and then they goes to tell, you know, the aliens, they aren't real humans, they are angels, or they are devils, or something like that. And then they say they are much more intellectual, grown up than the humans on Earth.
You're talking, incidentally, about what we sometimes call flying saucer preachers. There are some sects and some so-called religious groups who preach the saucers and call them, according to the philosophy, gods or angels or devils or something like that.
Yeah, that's right, true. And, you know, this happens. It isn't on this way. The real thing is the humans from other planets outside of our solar system, they are exactly like the humans on Earth. Some of them, they are very, very lower in all the knowledge and all the directions and all the teachings what we have here on Earth. Other ones, they are a little bit higher than we here. Other kinds, other races, they are exactly the same than we here on Earth. Other one, they are much higher than we here on Earth. It's also quite different. You know, in the whole universe, there is always, day by day, year by year, year thousand by year thousand, and millions of years, always a changing. The people, the human, is coming higher in his knowledge, higher in his spirit, higher in his feeling and body and everything, and so always will be different from one race to the other race, and from one planet to the other planet. You can see it quite here on Earth too. We have about 150 or 160 different countries here on our planet. We have several dozen different races here, and not one of them is exactly in the same knowledge and wisdom and love and every other thing.
Stage of development, you mean?
Yeah, that's right.
And this is true for the space people as well as the Earth people, you're saying?
Right.
I'd like to ask you one thing which, of course, bothers many people, and that is, if the space people, most of them, have good intentions, if they want to improve our lives, our society, why do they go to one person? Why did they go to you, for example? Why not sit down in the middle of Zurich and talk to thousands of people instead of only one?
You know, that's a very good question. The Pleiadians now and the other aliens who have stations here on Earth, they are a little bit higher up in their evolution than the Earth people. The Earth people was living for several thousand years in stagnation, stopped every evolution. And in the meantime, the Pleiadians was growing up higher and higher. And in a technical way, they got a foregoing to the Earth technical belongings from 3,500 years. And the spiritual evolution of them is between 20 and 30 million years higher than our one. And this makes a changing in their psychic waves. And if they comes into the waves of the Earth human, they will get trouble.
Because we're too negative. We're too crude.
We can say it's too negative and this makes trouble for them. And then they go to find some people who is possible to block up all these negative waves.
So in a way you're like a medium in spiritualism, or you have a higher state of refinement and they feel as though they can filter their information through contacts to you personally rather than expose themselves to a mass of other people.
Yeah, you can say however you like it, you know. It's somehow on this way. That's the reason why they not meet the whole population or big groups of people from humans on Earth.
There's one theory which has been stated by other contactees, and that is they are supposed to prepare mankind, that is the contactees, for the coming of the saucers. That the saucers will retake the Earth in great numbers, and that we'll have to learn to live with them. Is there any truth in that?
No, it isn't.
They don't want to conquer us. They don't want to take us over.
No. You see, if they like to do this, they have...
They would have done it.
Yes, that's right.
And there's something else. Some of the world's great spiritual leaders, the greatest spiritual leaders, Buddha, Mohammed, Christ, are said by some contactees to have been visited by saucers and have received wisdom from certain visitors from space. What about this statement?
You see, that's quite true. Buddha, Muhammad, then Zarathustra, Jesus Christ, and many other prophets, they was contacted and prepared by aliens. And they was teached by aliens, and they was working in the order of them.
And what about your own personal case? Do you feel as though you are being trained as a prophet too, in the same way?
You see, a prophet is nothing else than a human, if it is now a woman or a man, doesn't important. A prophet is a human only who is going on to the people over all the world, or in a big population, to tell them what's really the true of all the natural and creation laws.
To teach cosmic truth, in other words.
That's right. Prophet, it's somehow a wrong word, because prophet means really that he is going on, or that a man or a woman is going on to make some prophecies for the future.
This is not what you mean by prophet.
That's not what I mean by the word prophet. It's somehow a leader and a teacher.
It sounds to me like you're very much describing what we would call a yogic master, for example, more in the Hindu sense. Is that true?
No, it isn't. Mm-hmm. You know, a leader on this way, he is teaching, teaching, teaching. He not goes to bring some ritual things like what's happened in meditation centers or in sects. I don't mean insects, I mean into sects, or what's happened in India by these Bhagwans and all this by these Swamis. It's a prophet who is going to the people just to tell them and to teach them the truth about natural and creation life and natural and creation laws, about the love, the wisdom, the knowledge, and all the other things what's into this big complex.
Well, I would say from what I know of your work that this is what you're doing.
Yeah. You see, what I have an order for it, and what's my mission, to bring to the people the real freedom into themselves at first line, to teach them how they can come free into themselves with their own love, with their own thinking, with the going on of the psyche on the
developing
right
their
way.
Spiritual selves.
Yeah, that's right. And the living together with the next one, to be free with the next one, to the next one, that nobody shall be a slave, that he shall be a real free human with the fulfilling of all the necessary duties for himself and for the next one, for the whole nature, for the whole world and whole universe, and to be responsible for himself, and to be responsible for the next one too, and for the whole nature and whole creation and whole universe. And on this way only you can get real love, real understanding, real wisdom and knowledge, and a real life.
So what you're really saying is to create a person who is spiritually highly developed, is spiritually liberated, has access to his own consciousness, and is outgoing and helpful to others. This is putting it in a crude way, but that's basically what you mean.
Yeah, that's right. In a short way, I can say I'm going on and I'm ordered to teach the humans to learn them how to be a real human.
And this is the true religion as taught by the space visitors.
Yeah, that's the true religion, and the true religion who is going on over the whole universe, not only on this world.
What is taught about the existence of a God? Is there a God, as we think of it?
What we call here a God, that's by Pleiadians and other aliens something else, then a God is nothing else than a title of a human being. Like we have titles here for Mr. President, or Doctor, or Professor. That's their title, like we have titles here.
Does that mean for a very highly developed person?
Then? Yes, that's the most highly developed man, or woman too.
In their world.
In their world, and but there is something else. The universe, we call it creation. In German, we say Schöpfung.
The creation.
the creation. And that's the highest power over the whole universe. And in our religions, the name of God have to be changed if they really means the creation themselves.
So it's been said that the true meaning of God is all of nature and creation, all that which is greater than we are, not a man with a beard sitting on a throne.
Not a long white beard by an old man with a stick or something. Creation is creation itself, and it's really something else than a human, and really something else than a god.
You're on top of a mountain here, or a hill, and you have a lot of ground. Do I assume correctly that the contacts actually take place here?
No, it isn't. You know, there is too many people here around. Then we have here up army rocket base, and they are watching everything here, and it's very seldom when they comes to here to land their ships on our ground. For that, when they land on the earth, I have to go far outside of this place.
How are you told about the landings? How do you get the information?
The information I get over my private telephone in my head on a
telepathic
way. Yeah.
And are you allowed to bring visitors, or do you must you go alone?
Sometimes they will give the permission for some people, but then they have to wait some 500 meters far away. Mm-hmm. Near, it's not possible.
But one can see what's going on.
They can see sometime what's going on. They get the chance maybe to see the people. This happens sometime. But the most things what's happened when was people together with me, when I was going to a contact, they have seen the ship when it was coming, or when they left, or they heard the sounds from the ship and such things.
Well, may I ask you, in all seriousness, if it's possible to be notified in enough time to come from Bern to Turbenthal, if I might be able to be at a contact. Is that possible?
Yes, of course it is, but you see, the people have to wait here, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months.
Oh, you don't know, sort of 10 minutes before or an hour
before? Yes, just 10 minutes before, or if it is much time, then a quarter hour before I comes to know that I have to go to a contact.
Aha, so you can't tell a person the day before or the morning or something like that?
No, it isn't possible.
And there is one thing. Switzerland is a very small country. You have a radar is in operation. Zurich Airport is not far away. How is it possible for the saucers to escape radar contact?
You know, for them it's very easy. I don't know how it is working, and I don't like to know how it is working. But it's something else, like the light breaking, you know? When the radar impulses goes out, they don't will touch the saucer.
It's like a barrier.
No, it's not like a barrier. It turns around the saucer.
Deflected around the surface.
Yes. Yeah. And so they not will get on the sender impulse back.
And something does come into mind again, Billy, and I think it's very important. All of us are uneasy, as you mentioned before. All of us are uneasy about the future, nuclear war, the end of the world as we know it. Have your contacts brought you any insights or information in this particular sense? Can we relax, or should we be prepared for the worst?
Yeah, you see, I got several prophecies, and all of them, they speaks from World War III, and this World War III will be for sure. It will be for sure, absolutely sure. It isn't changeable.
Will this be by accident, or will it be through human stupidity, or what?
No, by some foolish people who likes to come to power.
Will this be started by the East or by the West?
You know, that's a very funny thing. it will be started in the east, and it will started be in the west, and it's started, it started too in the north.
All at the same time?
All at the same time. I mean, when I say all in the same time, in a couple of closed months, you know?
Well, I mean, will the Soviet Union attack the United States, or will the United States attack the Soviet Union, or will it be Israel or South Africa, or what?
What's happened between the United States and Russia, that's a funny thing, too. Because not they start together, the World War start. The World War III will be started by small countries at this time.
Can you name which country?
I can name the countries, but I don't know if it is useful.
Well, it would be useful to hear and let people draw their own conclusions.
You know, I tell you, Russia and England, this will be the first two countries who get trouble together.
In nuclear warfare?
No.
This will be the start of it.
It's the real start. The going out of the World War III just happens in Falkland, Iran, Iraq, and Israel.
Are we seeing the beginning of what will be the Third World War now?
The beginning, the very early beginning, happens with these wars who are rolling on in these countries, what I named before.
And Billy, the big question, how long do we have before the nuclear holocaust?
The nuclear war will start before the year 2000, but after that the human life will rise on again, like every war and before.
So it will not be the end of civilization?
It not will be the end of civilization and not the end of human being on Earth.
Thank you, Billy.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.